The following may not be true. Any and all illegal activities should be assumed to be the fabrications of trained improvisers and taken as entertainment. Any offensive views or opinions discussed are likely the result of an inability to process context and intention over predisposition, and are not endorsed by any current or potential sponsors. In these cases, it should be assumed that the offensive material is likely the result of an emotional masochism within the observer. We assure offended parties it is not necessary to contact us in thanks. It is our pleasure to fulfill your want and need. Should the offended still feel the need to contact us, please do so at unopenedemail@yahoo.com. Thank you, and enjoy. Life.
With guitar!
All right, guys. Here it is. Ep 995 BC. Doesn't even have to have a long intro. I actually, babbled for a full hour on my own, so that's pretty good. What did we talk about today? Well, speaking of investigation, I think there's some jury duty stuff. Give it 10 minutes, guys. You know? It takes me a little while. I'm not good at this yet. Give her 10 minutes, start talking about jury duty, something happens. But we're a work in progress here, right? What else I talk about? Water crossings, ruining cars, wrecking cars, political strategy. It's all in there. What an episode. So, with no further ado, let's get in to 995 BC. So what are we talking about today, folks? I'm talking about the man in the mirror today. Solo cast. Got to give a big thanks to Jared Helfer for riding around with me. Ended up in Ham Bones the other day. A big hip 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 boo. Trevor Ross and Corey Henderson, where you at? What the fuck? That's right. We were supposed to podcast the other day. Weak sauce. But shout out to Jared Helfer. Very dependable young man. Bookable. Very bookable. Yes. Anyway. We're supposed to record this, well, I thought anyway, down to Parkway Theater. Then we were supposed to record it at Ham Bones. Then I lost track of interest, basically, yeah. And, here I am, solo. I depend on me, like all the women who are independent, you know? Yeah. I guess I depend on Cindy, too. We like to think we depend on each other. You know what I mean? I got me thinking the other day, what if you worked with you, you know? What if you had to depend on you, right? And then I got to thinking, there's a movie about that. Couple of them. Star Wars, bro. They had a clone army. Can you imagine being in a clone army? Everything that people did would be shit that you did. I gotta hate that guy. Son of a bitch. He leaves his freaking toenails out. Just sweeps up once a week. I hate that guy. I don't know. It's true. There's not a lot about me I hate. It's tough to say. I wish there was more shit about me I hated. What do I hate about me? That's a tough one. Let's not dive too deep into that. That sounds pretty heavy. What would I hate about me? No thanks. This soundboard is such fucking garbage. I gotta figure out a better soundboard situation. But it does have this.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
So that's fucking worth it, right? Oh, you guys grew up in The Simpsons? It's funny, they say kids like me were raised by TV. We weren't really raised by TV, man. We we had TV. And we did spend a lot of time looking at it, you know? But my parents were at work and we were at home. It was summertime. What were we supposed to do? There wasn't a lot to do. Closest neighbors, half mile away. Closest kids, mile and a half away. You know what I mean? But I tried to get out. I tried to get out of the house, you know? When I was a kid, I used to disappear in the forest for hours because there was nobody to stop me, honestly, in the summertime. Like I said, my folks that worked in there down in Des Moines, Des Moines an hour away. Well, 50 to 55 minutes. But either way, so they're driving an hour every day. They can't come get me if I need some shit or something. So we figured out, you know, that's how country kids were. Latchkey kids, really. A lot of fucking latchkey kids in the city, I guess. Actually seems more dangerous for city kids, you know, to be latchkey kids. Right? There's more people around. Most dangerous animal in the world is people, right? So you got all these dangerous animals outside. Here you are. With the crickets. Scared to death. Man, that cricket fucking thing never works. Never fucking works. Oh, there it went. Twice in a row. Real proud of it, you know? It did its job. Crazy. I wonder how loud that little crowd clap is. Anyway. Solo cast. What did I do today? Oh, I was building America, as per usual. I installed a flat screen TV for a dude, and in exchange, he gave me his old TV. No money, though. Just kind of a work for TV situation. But that's fine. He's a friend. So either way, it's probably going to help him, right? Free TV, guys. I guess that's kick-ass. I don't know. I think I'll keep it. I really don't have a place for it. See, we have a projector set up in our living room, right? So I've made this like half-assed coffee table, and inside the coffee table is a projector, and then the projector projects to where the fireplace used to be, which is now just a white surface. It's kind of nice. Takes up no room. We don't really watch a lot of TV, so it doesn't have to be that high def. Obviously, it's big picture. I don't know. I guess it's not that impressive. But now I have a flat screen, and I was thinking about putting it here in the studio, but I got this little HP screen. I think it's probably even better, honestly, this HP screen, because it's like picture in a picture if we ever put this thing on the interwebs, you know what I mean? They're not going to figure out if we're watching other people's videos with it. But a big screen, they might actually figure it out. Either that or I'm an idiot who knows nothing about computers. Tough to say. Real close race. You know what I mean? Anyway. Gotta figure out which... I did play video games on it. I can't believe I play this old-ass video game. A 2013 Battlefield 4. It's a first-person shooter. But it's like... pretty realistic, I guess, if there's such a thing for a video game, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta reload the guns, you gotta, you know, you get hit. There's no, like, running up walls. You do get a parachute. It's, like, deployable for not any distance at all, so that's something stupid, but other than that. Either way, I've been playing this game forever, so now I got this big flatty. I give her a run, guys. I give her a run for an hour today. Dangerous, though, video games are, man. They suck up a lot of time. A lot of time. God, I could look up how many hours I have on Battlefield 4, and I don't know. It'll be a lot. That'd be interesting. I should try to do that if I remember. Let me write that down. How many hours? Many hours. BF4. That's right, BF4. That's what you call it if you're in the know, baby. If you're a shooter. But I swear this game's getting hacked, man. Nowadays, I go to play this game, and every time I point at or am pointed at by certain characters, my guy just like lays down and throws out ammo. It's the most fucking frustrating thing in the world, because you'll get the drop on a dude. You pull out whatever it is, and then you just guy just lays on his belly and like throws out a fucking health pack to the enemy. Oh, and he shoots you in the brain. Usually twice. Video games. Do they make us more violent? I don't think they've made me more violent. I think age has made me less violent, and I don't think I was ever that violent. You know what I mean? There's a big advantage being just a tall dude, though. Like, as far as, like, I don't have to feel like anybody's going to just, like, target me. You know what I mean? So that's good. But it is possible still. It definitely is possible. I think I got roofied one time, for real. I mean, I drank, or at least drank that night, and wasn't that much. I think it was an average of like 1.5 beers per hour for 4 hours, so 6 beers. You know what I mean? And boy, I was fucked up. And I felt really weird the next day, too. What is roofies now? It's got to be GHB and stuff, right? That's what they do? Somebody told me roofies was like Quaaludes or Ludes, bruh. Dude, you got any Ludes? I'd love to have some Ludes right now. No Ludes? Well, do you know anybody? Yeah, I don't know what a lewd is. I've never had a lewd, a quaalude, if you will. I bet it's some sort of tranquilizer. It's probably like a slow, dull K-hole, which I've also never been in. But that would be interesting. I hear they use freaking ketamine to like treat insane people, so that's pretty dope. Literally, I guess. And, I wonder if... Yeah, I don't know. They just say all kinds of good shit about psychedelics, right? Yeah, but I definitely know people who have fried their brains with psychedelics. So don't believe it, kids. Drugs are still dangerous, bro. Yep. You heard it here first. Oh, I got a jury summons in the mail. Have you guys ever been to jury? I've never been to jury, I'll tell you that. But now's my chance. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. So if I don't answer, is there double? That's the question. If I don't answer this summons, what, they just pick somebody else, right? I mean, it's not worth their fucking time to lock up people for not wanting to do it, right? I'm fucking busy. How much does that pay? You know? I should Google that. I've been debating whether or not I should Google during the podcast. Googling seems like cheating. You know? It's almost better and faster paced. No Google. Even with guests. Unless somebody's... I don't know. Whatever. I'm not here to control people. Excuse me. Oh my. I'm going to grab a drink of water here. Oi. I don't know what that was all about. So what was I saying? I was saying jury. I don't know, man. I think it'd kind of be fun. I mean, why not once in your life do the jury thing, right? Like, sit it out. But also, what if it's horrible shit? I don't want to look at pictures of fucking, like, dead kids or something, man. You know?
Maybe that's what I'll just write. I mean, maybe there's a comment section of the thing. That's what I should do. Just a second. I'm going to pause it here. All right. I hold in my hand the fifth dugistal... dugistal. The fifth dugistal... The fifth Judicial District of Pennsylvania Office of Jury Management. Jury summons this sensitive document, Aaron Douglas. All right, here we go. We're going to look at a jury summons if it's easy. If it's too hard, I'm not really going to look at it. I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm pretty lazy. I'll have to check it out later. It's very thick paper. This is my initial... Yeah. Extremely thick paper, guys. This summons... Unless I'm missing a page... Stuff's like cloth. It's got to be quadrupled up. Nope. Anyway. All right. So here I am with my patriotic document. Juror qualification questionnaire. Are you a United States citizen? Oh, okay. First off, I should say I'm doing this in green inkwell pen, which I'm hoping will disqualify me. I've not read the directions. Am I a U.S. citizen? Hell yeah, I am. God bless America with my green ass pen. Are you 18 or older? Hell yeah. Man, I'm nailing this thing. Are you able to read, write, speak, and understand English? Well, I'll be damned if I'm not doing it right now. You know what I mean? I just wrote. Well, I mean, I've made an X. Is an X a wrote? I'm counting it. And spoke English. Do you have physical or mental condition that would prohibit you from rendering efficient jury service? Do I have a physical or mental condition? I'm going to leave this one blank, guys. I mean, I'm going to have to think about that. Mental or physical condition that could disqualify me. Have you ever been convicted of a crime by imprisonment for more than 1 year? No, I have not. I've never been in jail for more than a year. Are you active in the military? Well, no. See, there you go. I think I'm supposed to answer no on those last two, though, so I'm still kind of nailing it, you know what I mean? Date of birth? No thanks. Signature? What? There's no comment section? How do I tell them how much I hate? They might have summoned me. I haven't answered the most pressing of all the questions, though. Do you have a physical or mental condition that would prohibit you from rendering effective jury service? Efficient. It actually says efficient. If so, an affidavit will be mailed to you requiring your medical physician's assessment and signatures. Oh, shit. I'd have to forge a medical document to cross that yes. Well, I guess that's a no. So what... Dude, I'm telling you, this thing... I'm still thinking it's folded over again on itself, but it is not. It is just the world's most stout paper, dude. A homeless guy could fucking wear this for shoes. This is jury summons. It's something else. Anyway, so now... Ooh, I see. It breaks down into its own envelope. Very interesting. Origami government. Very interesting. All right. So what happens if I don't send this in? You know? That's what I'm wondering. Fifth. Oh, let's read the front. Dear citizen, you have been summoned to appear for jury selection process in the Allegheny County Court of Common Pleas. Enclosed, you will find a juror qualification questionnaire and summons to appear for jury service, indicating the date, time, and location of your jury service. You may call the Office of Jury Management at blah blah or email them at blah blah with any questions. We thank you for your participation in our system of justice for providing the vital service to our community. All right, well, it doesn't say anything about whoop my ass if I don't send it back. Boy, I'm going to have to Google this, man. Because if I can just not send it back, that seems like the move, right? God bless America. We don't use mail. Just email us. Which is funny because email is technically private, right? So they can't just like send it to you. Like they can send it to us at our address, which is public. But they're monitoring our emails anyway, right? So just send it to me. You know who I am. Goddamn CIA bastards. Fucking bastards. So what else was in the, speaking of court, Trump was acquitted. So I don't think anyone's surprised about that, right? Nobody? Anybody? Everybody all at once? I feel like even when people are rooting, which I don't give a fuck, guys. I really don't give a fuck. If you ask me, he's a blowhard. Seems to be doing about the same as anybody else, honestly. Anyway. No surprise. I mean, seriously, they recounted him the day that he got in. Then they investigated him for, fuck, I don't even remember, for 2 years. Found nothing that they could convict him for. Anyway. Then they do this, and they know that they don't have a majority in the House. So, yeah. My theory is this, honestly, and I think that the Democratic Party wants to just toss this election. So, I mean, statistically speaking, they are not likely to win. An incumbent president, in general, wins re-election. George Bush's dad didn't, and fuck, I can't even think of anybody else who didn't. I know there's another one. But either way, you know what I mean? George Bush. Yeah. George Bush had 16. Bebop had 16. Yeah, I don't know. Either way, impeachment, not a likely thing. So, duh. But they want to throw this. Okay, so here's, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. Thank God I found my way back. They want to throw this election, and they don't have to, because they're probably going to lose anyway, statistically. If the economy is good, it could go south, but it's probably going to be fine. And he's an incumbent, so incumbents generally just win re-election. You don't change a horse midstream, as they say. So they figure, what if we do all this impeachment stuff just to make us look over-the-top bloodthirsty? And then when we lose the election, we say, hey, guys, we're sorry. We didn't mean to be so angry. We're going to really make some changes in the next couple of years. And then when they run for the real office in, what is it, 2024, right? Because we got to change presidents 2024. And that's generally how it works. We go 8 years fucking... R 8 years D. Yeah. Anyway. So that's super, super interesting / boring. My advice to you guys is stay away from the news, man. I try to local news. I'll do local news. Like Pittsburgh news, boom. I'll do it. No big deal. National news is just boring, guys. I'm not gonna lie, I used to watch it a lot. Sorry, I got to take a drink. Ah, ice cold H2O. I totally lost what I was after. Anyway. In 2024, they got a real shot at it, I guess. What was I saying? I don't know. You guys watch Democratic debates? Me neither. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. I was saying don't watch the news. It's not worth it. I started watching the news real hard 2002. You know, some in 2001, 9/11, you know what I mean? But in 2002, because my dad got deployed, right? So I'm watching the news all the time because the news talks about the war. War is where my dad's at. So then I was watching that, and my buddies are all ended up over there anyway, too. So then I keep watching it, you know what I mean? So I watched all the way through Bush's presidency. I watched the news. And I watched it all the way through Obama's presidency. And then I watched it through about a year of Trump. And I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I know how this works. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of sensationalism. You can say how it swings. Each channel's got their own fucking thing. But if it bleeds, it leads, right? That's what they used to say. The news is meant to terrify you. Emotions. If you feel emotions, say, did someone evoke this emotion? And if the answer is yes, then you say, what do they have to gain? You know what I mean? Anyway. What else we got going on? No, oh, I'm supposed to buy a car. You guys like to buy cars? It's a process, you know what I mean? I used to think it was so cool when I was like young. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have a different car. But now it's just stressful because you want to get the best car you can for the money, you know, and then I'm like supposed to know stuff about cars. And I do have some rules about cars, and I'm pretty good at picking, I like to think, affordable used cars, you know what I mean? I kind of learned to buy cars from my grandpa, my mom's dad, that is to say. And he always said, you got to be willing to walk away. That was what he said. That's true. When you fall in love with a car, they got you by the balls. You just got to walk away a bunch. Then you eventually will get the right deal. One other thing I look for nowadays is, because I used to get paralysis by analysis when I was shopping for cars, you know, like I'd be like, oh, this one's the, and then I would search for that car for sale exclusively and then try to find ones with high miles to see like how far that car could drive and things like that. And I'd just go down these rabbit holes of information about cars, and I'm only gonna buy one of them, you know, and why do that weird dance with so many ladies, I guess, so many cars, you know? So now I got it down to a couple of things. One, does this car have a timing belt or a timing chain? If it has a timing belt, that is a $1,500 maintenance at the minimum, you know what I mean? That needs done every 80,000 miles, 60 to 80,000. So you got to ask yourself, was this car traded in because it needs a new timing belt? And they're like, fuck it, let's just upgrade, you know? Because your timing belt, if it breaks and you have an interference motor, then your pistons hit your valves and bend them and it fucking ruins shit. So anyway, what you want is either a car with a timing chain or a car that's had a fresh timing belt put in it or has 40,000 or more. That's what I like to say. Other than that, I really don't have a lot of fucking qualifications, you know? I'll buy a drive about anything that... Yeah. But for my girl, we got to get... Because this... Okay, so this is the thing. I got to buy a car. Or I got to help her... She's going to buy a car, and I'm going to help her find it. I put her car in the ditch. It's my fault. You know what I mean? So, this thing is terrible. Yeah. I was trying to do a soundboard. We got to figure out a better soundboard. But, let me see here. All right, soundboard.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
I don't know. Seems like it works. Anyway. I got to help Cindy get a car because I put her car in the ditch. And it's a weird thing about putting a car. You guys ever total a car? So what happened was her car was totaled. Now you see, you think to yourself, man, you fucking totaled her car. You put it in the ditch and totaled it. What the fuck's going on? I'll admit it was my fault. But what happened was I hydroplaned across a big ass puddle, right? I was going real fast, like way too fast, right? But I've done crazier shit. And I hit the water and got into a four-point slide, you know what I mean? Hydroplaning. And the four-point slide started me drifting right. And I saw I was going to hit this fence. And I did. It's a temporary construction fence, right? Relatively shallow ditch. It was just like a transition from the road to a gravel lot with a fence in the middle, right? So then here I am in this parking lot for the construction company, and I get out of the car, and I walk around a car. Can't really tell I did anything, honestly. However, one of the tires is leaking, right? So, and it's all because I was in a hurry to get to the damn post office. I was just trying to get to the, how generic and ridiculous is that, right? It seems like a trope. Because I was late for the post office. But it was. I don't remember even what I was going to ship. Anyway. So, the tire's leaking a little bit, though. I can hear that when I get out of the car. Fuck it. I hop back in the car, and I'm close to home. Skip the post office because the tire's leaking. Just get the car in the driveway. That's my plan. And I get up the hill, get in the driveway, park the car. But steering wheel's crooked. Which is classic car out of alignment. So I'm like, okay, well, I put it in the ditch. Probably needs an alignment. So I go into the body shop. And it says, or actually the car shop, but it's a body shop in the basement. Dual shop. And it says, hey, this car is unalignable. We topped out the reach on the whatever's, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, great. Well, I put it in the ditch, so it's probably damaged. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's for sure what it is. So then they have the insurance guy come, right? And the insurance guy is not my insurance guy. Now, I have USAA insurance because, like I was saying earlier, my old man was in the service. So I'm eligible for USAA. And USAA is dope-ass insurance. And the problem was is I took it to my own shop. So I took it to my own shop, and it's like when you go to a doctor that's like not covered by your insurance, but then they are. Yeah, it's stupid, I know. But either way, so because of this, they have to send an inspector, and the inspector is a third party because normally the shop itself is registered as an inspector for them, right? So then they send this third party out. He comes to the shop. He looks at the car. He says, hey, $1,250 to fix this car. It says, okay. They write us a check. We go take the car. They start tearing the car apart. And they find a bunch of damage, I guess, that they didn't know about. So then they get a hold of this inspector. The inspector takes forever to come, but you got to give him, it was New Year's. So that's like an extra day, though. And it took him like 2 extra days. So that was bullshit. Anyway, took us forever. We were in a rental car for a month before they finally gave this Ford Edge of ours the death sentence, right? So now we're shopping for a car, and it's all my fault, and I got to fix it. And we've gotten approved for what they call a check-ready loan. Now, interesting thing. Banks, I guess, and I didn't know this, but I was like, I just thought they called it being pre-approved. But PNC's got this check-ready loan. You go in, you apply for the loan, they say, yeah, we'll give you up to this much, and then they give you a blank check that you fill in for less than or equal to X amount of dollars, right? So now we got one of these, and we're supposed to find a car basically tomorrow or the day after. Well, tomorrow, because it's goddamn Pennsylvania, you can't even buy a car on a Sunday. Ugh. So fucking ridiculous, this state. The state is so bureaucratic. Yeah, I said bureaucratic. The bureaucracy here is too much for me, man. I cannot. You guys have to have notaries to transfer titles. You can't do it on a Sunday. You can't sell beer and liquor in the same store. I don't know what's going on in this state sometimes. It's crazy. But it's Commonwealth. That's what people tell me anyway. Pennsylvania. Commonwealth. I think that's what they say. Either way, your laws are a little bit out of control. You guys ever total a car? Because I've totaled other cars. And this car was, I was very surprised it was totaled. I guess what I'm trying to say is I drove this car home. I drove this car to the shop. Steering wheel's crooked. That's all. Didn't seem that bad. Anyway, we're looking for a new car. But have you ever totaled a car? I totaled that one. I totaled, starting as a little kid, we had a Chrysler. You know what a K car is? Like, Dodge had the Aries K, but then there was a Chrysler version, and they called them all K cars. It's actually, I think it's in the Ford versus Ferrari movie at the very beginning. They make fun of it, maybe, even. But either way, so my buddy Dave gets one of these Chryslers, these K cars, from his grandma. She gives it to him. Very nice gift. She said, but she gives it to him when we're like 12. You know what I mean? And she says, when you're 16, this can be your car. But we're country kids. Like I said, we're home all day while our parents are at work, right? Now, we live miles apart, but by age, how old are you when you're in 7th and 8th grade? 8th grade's got to be 15? No, 14. Yeah, 14. And 15, yeah. So you're talking 13, 14 years old, right? We're starting to get a hold of cars. Tom, Dan, they had cars. Their grandpa had cars anyway, and they were getting access to them. And Dave's grandma had a car in the shed for him, and he'd gotten access to it. And between them cars, we would meet up and stuff. And we wrecked the hell out of that Chrysler. But it didn't happen all in one blow, man. We drove that car hard, fast, and reckless, like a go-kart on gravel roads, bobbing in out of ditches, spinning around. Oh, man. That's something else. We used to just pull the e-brake on each other. Yeah. Yeah, but eventually we got to that car to a point where it wasn't looking the best, you know, had some dents, had a lot of dirt, didn't look good, and didn't run that well either. We'd fucked it up pretty good. So then we're like, dudes, let's give it one last hurrah, because Dave had this hill in his pasture. And you could definitely catch air off. I mean, we'd never done it yet, but we'd always imagined you could catch air off of it, right? So we did. And you know what the thing about cars is? Normal cars, they nosedive, man. Just remember that. If you're ever going to jump a car, don't jump it far. Maybe it's hatchback. I don't know. Those things nosedive, dudes. So, yeah. Basically, we saw nothing but sky because we went off the hill. Up the hill. And then the whole windshield, just earth. And it was coming right at us. And then the Chrysler hit the ground. And I believe that bent up the front of the frame, and it started to spray water out of the radiator. We drove it into the shed, closed the doors, and didn't tell anyone until they asked. So we wrecked the Chrysler. What else did I wreck? Oh, in high school, I was driving my dad's 1991 Ford F. This is a 92, I think. F-150. And then my buddy, Jacob Davis, driving a 92 F-150, rear-ended me, and I was going probably 6 mile an hour on a gravel road because I was waiting for a car in front of me to pull into its own driveway. And then I just got blasted from behind. And I broke out the back window with my back of my head. And we had this topper, man. This truck had a topper. It was a gray truck that had a red topper for some fucking reason. It's so ugly. And then Jacob, he said he was going 80 mile an hour. And he barely got time to touch the brakes. So whatever that means. I'm going to say 70 mile an hour hits me. And the topper ejects like a frisbee. Flies into a bean field. So that's good. The truck's engine's dead. Not running. But plenty of momentum. Because I got that old pull shot from Bumper, as we called him. Funny, oddly enough. Old Chops Davis, also known as Bumper. Yeah, so his truck was fucked up. I mean, he bopped me good. Enough that I bobsledded around in the ditch until I muscled the wheel over. Because there's no power steering because the engine was dead. And still had enough momentum to drive out of the ditch. I knew exactly what had happened because me and Jacob and Trent Myman I shouldn't have said his last name, I guess. Anyway, took a same road home every day. You know, it was 5 miles of gravel travel, and me and Jacob were fucking flying. Trent had a Trans Am, the cool Trans Am too, like Smokey and the Bandit one, like literally the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, and that's what he was pulling into the driveway in front of me with. So right when I got blasted, I yanked the wheel to the left. Because like I said, I don't know why, I just knew what happened. And I missed Trent. Just barely went around. I ended up a couple football fields up the road. And I run back because I just figured Jacob's dead. You know, Chops, seen his last day. I get up there and he's out. He got out of the truck. He's fine. He's standing up there. He's like, holy shit. I don't even think that truck had airbags. It might have. But the radiator, the front of his car, was behind the front of his front tires, if that makes sense. But the frame of the truck was still there. So essentially, he rear-ended me, and it pushed the engine and body of his truck off of the frame and squished it like a soda can to behind the front of the front tires. Oh yeah, so that was my dad's truck. Totaled that. What else did I total? Oh, I had this Civic that I bought for my dad's buddy for $600. It was an awesome fucking old Honda. It was the seats, all of the seats, including the driver's seat, folded flat. So from the rear bumper, and this is a hatchback, obviously, from the rear bumper to the dash, 100% flat. Perfect for like snowboarding and camping and stuff, right? So I must have had this car a month, right? And I run across some good tires that would fit it. Just, friend had them. And I worked at a car dealership, so I asked somebody in the shop, said, hey, if I bring in some tires, can you swap them over? And they said, yeah. And I said, great. You wouldn't have to put on a lift or nothing. I'll just have them off. So as I could take off the tires, I put the donuts on the front. Don't ask me why, but I had two identical spare tire donuts. You know what I mean? Like the mini tire. So the front of the car had that on it. And then I turned left in front of this lady in a Ford Explorer. It was 100% my fault. Like, because I was blind, the turn had like a big tall truck or whatever in the left turn lane, so I couldn't see. Anyway, I turned left in front of somebody. And as luck would have it, she didn't have any insurance. And for some reason, and I don't know why, because the cops came and everything, her not having insurance made it all nobody's fault. I don't know what it was. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So, got away with that one. I don't think I had insurance, though, because it was I paid it off. It was one of those don't laugh, it's paid for type of cars, you know what I mean? So I totaled that Honda. Cindy totaled one of my cars. So I don't know if that counts, because I didn't total it. But I had a Chevy Max, which is like a cool little hatchback with sunroof in the back. Not as cool anymore, I suppose. Anyway, totaled one of those in Colorado. Spun out in the storm. After that, I got an Infiniti, which I totaled. That car wrecks me that I totaled it. No pun intended. It's 68,000 miles on an Infiniti. And I got it cheap. Ugh. I fucking ruined it. I had that car for maybe a month, and then I fucking totaled it. Oh, my God. I was so mad. And then, after that, I got this awesome Toyota station wagon. Kathy, as we called her. Named it after the lady who sold it to us. And I drove Kathy for maybe a year or so, and then totaled that one right when I moved to Pittsburgh, out in the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. Ugh. That was something else, too. So, I don't know why, but some dude, two cars up from me, brake checked real hard. And then the guy in front of me also followed suit. And I was just going too fast. That one was 100% my fault. Luckily, the right-hand lane was clear, even though it was a tunnel. I checked my shoulder and jerked the wheel just in time. Missed the car in front of me, except for just a barely nudge it. You know what I mean? And then, whammo, hits the inside wall of the tunnel. You know what I mean? And then I knew right away the car was all fucked up because I could see the hood was kind of bent up, but so was the quarter panel, you know what I mean? And then, like, I was rolling on a flat. It was like, thump, 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 thump. But I'm in the middle of a tunnel, and I'm like, well, I'm definitely not stopping in this tunnel, right? So I drive it out of the tunnel. Ka-thunk, 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 you know, and then it's fucking pouring rain outside. I drove that car home too, though. Yeah, we changed the tire, and I drove the car home. I mean, it was messed up, so I could tell that. I was hoping they'd fix that one too, but they didn't want to. Man, that was a good car. Wrecked too many good cars, man. That was a timing belt car, the Toyota was. And the Max was a timing chain car. Yeah. And the Infiniti was also a timing chain car. And I had a Ford F-150 in there that I did not total. One of the very few cars that I have purchased, driven, and sold. Just as good as almost just as good as when I got it anyway. I don't know how I did that. But I did it. There's proof out there, people. I can take care of something. Evidently, it's a 1988 Ford F-150. That truck was awesome. I lived in Nebraska when I found that thing. I just had cash in hand. because I took out a bunch of extra money from student loans so I could buy a car. And I was just lurking on the internet, right? Following Craigslist every day, searching. And this 1988 Ford comes out. Now, I don't know if you know the term barn find, but barn find is a real word, right? So this truck was a barn find. A miracle, if you will. I forgot about how good this truck was. Ugh. So, here's how it goes. This guy buys a truck. He's an elderly farmer, right? Lives in Nebraska. Got a pretty decent-sized farm. Buys a brand new truck in 1988. Orders it with tan and green paint. Sounds ugly, but it was a pretty cool-looking truck. He keeps it bone stock. Right? Dies. 1990. Of a heart attack. There's one imperfection on the whole truck. And the folklore is that it was where the old man hit his head when he died. Which I don't know if that's true or not. But it's this little itty bitty ding in the front quarter panel. Either way. Perfect truck. I'm telling you. What year was that? 2000 and... 7 years ago would have been 2 plus 2. Probably 2014. In 2014, to run across a 1988 Ford F-150 with 47,000 original miles on it is what happened. So the old man dies after 2 years of driving it, 47,000 miles, and his brother, not a farmer, but a car collector. So his brother collects cars. He's got a Shelby Cobra replica, right? I saw the thing. And he had one of those stupid Chevy HHR things, too. I don't know what it was. Either way, it was so dumb. Either way, and a Corvette and something else. And he had kept this truck because its sentimental value was his brother's truck, right? So driven 2 years, then car collector takes it, stores it inside for 14 years or something like that. Decides he don't have room for it. His neighbor has seen the truck because they drink beer in the garage together. Says, I'll buy it off you. It's like freaking brand new. You can't let it go to waste. So he goes, okay. Well, this guy's the groundkeeper at a Catholic monastery school. Now, the Catholics might be known for a lot of stuff, but they take care of their property. You know what I mean? So either way, this guy's property manager out there. So he's got like bunches of sheds. So he parks his truck in there for the duration, you know what I mean? And then I buy it. It's like a brand new 1988 Ford. It was so cool. I drove that truck for probably 5 years. Yeah, that was a great truck. Anyway, it's a total Nebraska truck though, you know? It was a different time. The truck was a timing chain engine. See, you gotta know. You gotta say, hey, I don't want to deal with that. That's the only thing I really care about anymore. So anyway, we're looking for another car, and I've had a lot of cars, you know? I wonder where the next one was. I'm thinking Honda CRV. What do you think? Yeah. I also wrecked a motorcycle one time, actually. I was probably doing 80 miles an hour when it started to speed wobble. So if you don't know what speed wobble is on a motorcycle, you don't really turn with the handlebars too much. You know, you kind of lean a little bit and then the handlebars will kind of like follow that turn, you know. But if you're going in a straight line or even in a turn and your handlebars do turn in, they will wobble back into the center. They get forced back and forth, and they call it speed wobble. It's basically your bike starts to make the motion of a snake slithering, and except for at super, super fast RPMs, like whoop, 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 left and right until it flips out from underneath you. So that's what happened to me. I had this old Honda 400. I was going around 80 miles an hour, and I started to get speed wobble. So as soon as I get the speed wobble, I'm putting on the rear brake pretty hard. But, I mean, it's 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, boom, you know, like that long, a speed wobble, and then we're wrecked, you know? So, interesting thing, like, okay, so the motorcycle flips down over, basically in front of me, it, like, flips out from underneath me, and I land on top of it, like somebody, like, on a belly board, you know? Except for my hand is on the exhaust, so it burns up my hand, which sucked. And my forearm, well, that was after. So then I'm getting burned, so I like push off the motorcycle or something. I don't know what happens at that point. It's kind of foggy. But I got off the motorcycle and onto the concrete. And I just knew that when I got to the concrete, I needed to spread wide, you know? We don't want to tumble. And we're already at the momentum we need to be. So I fall off the motorcycle, spread wide, start rubbing skin off my arm, and I realize, well, I'm going to have to tumble once, otherwise we're going to grind this thing. So I tumble once, and I got a backpack on, which is nice. So as I'm sliding over on my back, it's sliding on the backpack, so that's good. And it's really neat, too, because I'm going downhill, and the motorcycle is on its side spinning like a disc, you know, in front of me, and I'm kind of surfing the highway behind it. I can just see the headlight go round, whoop, whoop, probably once or maybe twice. Sparks were flying out from underneath it, obviously, because it was just dragging steel down the road. It was nuts, man. That's probably the most, like, I never got hurt at all when I totaled those other vehicles, you know what I mean? But I got hurt when I totaled that motorcycle. I think I broke my right wrist, burned a lot of my left palm really badly, scraped off a lot of my left forearm, and that was the extent of it. Yeah, that was interesting. Wrecked the old Honda. I'll tell you what, speed wobble scares the shit out of you. This is not cool. yeah, so, but I do love motorcycles. I want to get another motorcycle. I'm saving up right now. I want to get a little one. Can't get me in too much trouble. You know what I mean? I've been through my Husqvarna days where I had a lot of trouble that I could get into. I'm just a risk taker when I drive, you know? You guys are risk takers? When I had the Husqvarna, I'd always be doing wheelies and riding through, like, it was a dual sport. Riding off-road and doing water crossings and when roads were closed. And I do water crossings in cars, too. I tried to do a water crossing in that pickup that I owned in Nebraska, that 88 Ford. I was driving, and it's a gravel road, and I could see, you know, like tall grass on the side of the road. So I could see the tops of the grass sticking out of the water. So I knew it was, you know, less water than the grass was high. So I'm looking at the grass next to me. I'm like, seems like I can do it. So I started driving, and I couldn't do it. I was got about to, and I mean, you really got to give her some wood. You're not like flooring it because you don't want to dig a hole or get sideways. And you, but you want to be pushing pretty hard when you're going through water. You know what I mean? So then the water's up to the point where it should be coming in the doors. So the doors were open, you know? And when you're pushing water, especially this, if you've ever seen one of them old Fords, boxy, they're real boxy. You know, they push a lot of water, and I had a wave, like, you know, like a boat going through a harbor. I had a wake and a wave like a big old wave in front of me. And there was a point where the wave started to break over the top of the hood. You know what I mean? Like, instead of me pushing a wave around the hood, the wave was starting to come over the top of the hood. And at that point, I had to let the wave go. And I hit them brakes. And that was one of the scarier moments. Because you don't want to be out there. It wasn't flowing water. It was not flowing water. Let me say that right out of the gate. But, I mean, I don't want to drown my truck out there in the middle of gravel road, freaking 200 yards into a 3 foot of water. Let it flood out. That's totaled, you know? So I had to hit the brakes because the wave was coming over the hood. But I'm still out there. So I throw her in reverse. And I had to drive out in reverse. And boy, I got out. And then this might happen to you guys if you ever do this. But you need a real hot day, or you got to run the car down the freeway the next day. You know what I mean? Because your wiring gets all messed up. I did the same thing with my Dodge Caravan. I have a Dodge Caravan right now. And down there, I was heading out to Pitt Karen, do some work, building America. And it had a heavy rain. You guys here in Pennsylvania, man, you guys have some flash flooding. I'll tell you what, you really do. And it will make sense. The whole damn place is valleys. Everything's a river valley out here. Nuts. So anyway, I'm heading down past the Braddock Mill, which is like the last working steel mill in Pittsburgh, or near Pittsburgh, I should say. And the water's flooded, and I took the minivan through it, and it was a little dicey. But the next day, it wouldn't start. And this is pretty classic. I think it's just the solenoid is wet. So if you guys ever drive through a bunch of water, the next day you got to take it out on the freeway and drive it for quite a while. That's my advice. Definitely had a lot of crazy fun in cars. I know I'll have to talk more about because I'm going to have to do more of these solo podcasts because I depend on me. Woo! This is why I'm doing it anyway, man. Got to be bad before it's good. Ooh, let me play that. Does this have thing work? No, probably not. Let's see. Back. And boom.
Really, just to a testament to how good your podcast is, it's really hard to do a solo podcast just coming up with a couple subjects and ranting for an hour. Yeah. Bill Burr, when he did his, when I started my podcast, I was like, maybe I'll do it solo. He goes, do it solo. You don't need guests.
Yeah.
I was like, and Burr I did said this? Yeah. And I did a couple solo. I go, Bill, they're not good. And he goes, they're not going to be. He was like, let them be bad for like a year and then they'll get better and then they'll get really good. And then you won't even think about it. And then your writing on stage will be so strong. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to have guests.
So there you go. Shit's hard, bro. That's Bert Kreischer talking to Chris D'Elia. Bert Kreischer's Bertcast. Chris D'Elia's podcast is what? What the fuck is his podcast? What is D'Elia's podcast? Podcast Addict, which is what I listen to. And congratulations with Chris D'Elia. Both great comics. If you're looking for some pod wrecks, that's a pod wreck, bro. All right, Reggie. Let's take it to the outro.
Transfer complete.
All right, thank God. Another one done, guys. Like I said, I ranted the whole hour, so pretty stoked about that. Just get better and better. We got to have a featured artist. I know didn't have one at the beginning, but this is going to make up for it right here. Hank the Third, Crazed Country Rebel. That's Hank Williams III.
Like a mountain in love, I hate me a mole, and like a driver.
drowning moonshine, an overdose of drugs, overdose of sin. I'm gonna live into the forest like I'm on tin. And I love getting high, I hate being low. And I like to drive my truck down a muddy dirt road. And I'm working real hard, trying to get paid, cause I'm a crazy country rebel and I'm drifting state to state.
I only drink when I work, and I'm a workaholic.